people and friends, tried and true, to whom I can speak with some utmost freedom, feeling that even trifling incidents may not be wholly destitute of interest for them. To begin, then, I was born in Dunfermline, in the attic of the small one-story house, corner of Moody Street and Priory Lane, on the 25th of November, 1835. And, as the saying is, of poor but honest parents, of good kith and kin. Dunfermline had long been noted as the center of the damask trade in Scotland. My father, William Carnegie, was a damask weaver, the son of Andrew Carnegie, after whom I was named. My grandfather Carnegie was well known throughout the district for his wit and humor, his genial nature and irrepressible spirits. He was head of the lively ones of his day, and known far and near as the chief of their joyous club, Pettymuir College. Upon my return to Dunfermline, after an absence of 14 years, I remember being approached by an old man who had been told that I was the grandson of the professor, my grandfather's title among his cronies. He was the very picture of palsied eld. His nose and chin they threatened ither. As he tottered across the room toward me and laid his trembling hand upon my head, he said, "And ye are the grandson o' Andrew Carnegie, eh, mon? I ha' seen the day when your grandfather and I could ha' hallooed ony reasonable man out o' his jidgment." Several other old people of Dunfermline told me stories of my grandfather. Here is one of them. One Hogmanay night, an old wiffy, quite a character in the village, being surprised by a disguised face suddenly thrust in at the window, looked up and after a moment's pause exclaimed, "Oh, it's just that daft callid Andrew Carnegie." She was right. My grandfather, at 75, was out frightening his old lady friends, disguised like other frolicking youngsters. I think my optimistic nature, my ability to shed trouble and to laugh through life, making all my ducks swans, as friends say I do, must have been inherited from this delightful old masquerading grandfather, whose name I am proud to bear. A sunny disposition is worth more than fortune. Young people should know that it can be cultivated, that the mind, like the body, can be moved from the shade into sunshine. Let us move it, then. Laugh trouble away, if possible, and one usually can, if he be anything of a philosopher, provided that self-reproach comes not from his own wrongdoing. That always remains. There is no washing out of these damned spots. The judge within sits in the Supreme Court, and can never be cheated. Hence, the grand rule of life which Burns gives, "Thine own reproach alone do fear." This motto, adopted early in life, has been more to me than all the sermons I ever heard, and I have heard not a few, although I may admit resemblance to my old friend Bailey Walker in my mature years. He was asked by his doctor about his sleep, and replied that it was far from satisfactory. He was very wakeful, adding, with a twinkle in his eye, "But I get a bit fine doze i' the kirk noo and then." On my mother's side, the grandfather was even more marked, for my grandfather, Thomas Morrison, was a friend of William Cobbett, a contributor to his register, and in constant correspondence with him. Even as I write, in Dunfermline, old men who knew Grandfather Morrison speak of him as one of the finest orators and ablest men they have known. He was publisher of The Precursor, a small edition, it might be said, of Cobbett's register, and thought to have been the first radical paper in Scotland. I have read some of his writings, and in view of the importance now given to technical education, I think the most remarkable of them is a pamphlet which he published 70-odd years ago, entitled "Head Ecation versus Hand Ecation." It insists upon the importance of the latter in a manner that would reflect credit upon the strongest advocate of technical education today. It ends with these words, "I thank God that in my youth I learned to make and mend shoes." Cobbett published it in the Register in 1833, remarking editorially, "One of the most valuable communications ever published in the Register upon the subject is that of our esteemed friend and correspondent in Scotland, Thomas Morrison, which appears in this issue." So it seems I come by my scribbling propensities by inheritance, from both sides, for the Carnegies were also readers and thinkers. My grandfather Morrison was a born